during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. In this scripture from John, we hear one of the most holy and yet humble acts of service being done, an act of humble hospitality. And Jesus, though aware of his immediate future and aware that all things had been given into his hands, humbly initiated an example of hospitable servanthood and love. This was a culture upon which society had an established order of status, and a culture where traditional customs were kept. Roads at that time were not paved as they are today, and on a dry day they were full of dust. On rainy days they were filled with mud and puddles. Sandals were the common type of shoe worn, and due to the openness of this type of shoe, they provided little protection from the elements, allowing the feet to become dirty as one walked along the streets. It was customary for one to bathe before going to someone's home to celebrate a feast. And oftentimes, even after one bathed, your feet got dirty walking to the destination. So it was for this reason often large pots of water were kept near the doors of homes. And upon entering the home, the host provided a servant, accompanied with a pitcher and a towel, to wash the dusty feet of their guests. According to several commentaries on this night, the night before his suffering, it is believed that Jesus and his disciples did not have the services of a servant, and that on this particular night, when he and the disciples shared their last meal together, it was uncertain who would be doing the washing for those entering. Dispute and precedence and prestige may have led them to such a competitive state of mind that perhaps no one was willing to step forward. And yet Jesus stepped up and did what none of them seemed set on doing. And even having known what his fate would soon be, with humility, he knelt down and silently washed and wiped their feet with a towel. Sadly, even in today's society, we fall into the midst of society's sense of order and pride. If it isn't in our job description, why should we do it? Jesus told the disciples that what he was doing, they would not understand until later. How often have you been advised that what's being done is for your own good? You may not see and understand it now, but in time, you will learn. I know how frustrating it is for me when I'm told that. I can only imagine how the disciples felt that night. Jesus was careful to indicate that it is with grace, that our own humility, that we patiently await how the experience is to take fold, regardless of our status and place in society. And he said, "You call me Lord and teacher, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you." If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And then, with a servant's task, he reached out and displayed a hospitable and loving act of kindness. With humble hospitality, he welcomed them all. With mercy, they were invited to enter and share a humble act that would lead them to a most glorious and transforming event. With grace, they received the invitation and then joined at the table as Jesus instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. He shared with the disciples that night what his fate was to be. He shared what was to come and how they would partake in the coming days as well. He knew there were some among them that would betray and deny him. Yet he allowed himself to be vulnerable in what he shared. He set an example that with humility we allow our faults and weaknesses to be shown and allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And with grace, we are offered an opportunity to receive God's mercy and forgiveness through Christ and with one another. Often we see an example of what it is like to serve and be served when someone close to us is ill. For when one tends to a loved one who has fallen ill, we often will find loving ways in which to comfort them. I can recall an instance where a close friend of ours was hospitalized and was beginning to feel a bit down with the fact that his health was declining. My husband took it upon himself to find a way to cheer him up. Now Steve, this was his friend, had been struggling with health issues for quite some time, and we knew his health was extremely fragile. He was a heavy, strong, and broad man, and with his decline in health, he was in constant pain. In the time frame that we had known him, he was a jovial man, a faithful Christian, and full of spunk and spirit. And he had served as one of Ray's mentors, as well as a close friend. Because of health reasons and his size, he frequently attended a nail salon for pedicures. And my husband seemed to struggle with the fact that he did this. It wasn't a manly thing to do, he said. Steve felt otherwise and rather looked forward to the time he spent having this done. And it was always fun for him to have themed and decorative polish whenever it was a special holiday. He often delighted in the responses he would get from the ladies that worked in the salon. And it always gave him a kick to get a negative and disgusted reaction from Ray. Well, this particular year, he'd been hospitalized around St. Patrick's Day. And during this time, Ray approached me one morning, asked if I had any green nail polish. I was a bit stumped as to why he would ask me this question, and I soon learned he wanted to cheer his friend up. So off to the hospital he went with a small selection of green nail polish, some cotton balls, and polish remover, and he was going to do Steve's toes. It was an extremely humbling act shared between Steve and my husband that day. Ray knew nothing about giving a pedicure, but he stepped up and set his pride aside. It became a humbling moment for him when the realization hit that morning that he was about to do something he never imagined he would do. Steve graciously accepted this invitation, and not only did it bring him joy, but it brought him smiles and a bit of cheer to the hospital staff as well. The story made the rounds in the hospital that day because it made a deep impression of love and compassion among friends, among brothers in Christ. A small act of humbling kindness. Ray had washed his dear friend's feet that day. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. We hear that in John today. And so as their Lord and teacher Jesus asked if he is willing to humbly serve them, why then shouldn't they each be willing to serve one another? For to humbly serve our Lord and to humbly serve others is indeed a glorifying and transformative event and moment. I'd like to share a poetic meditation I recently read titled Servant Girl Peeking at the Door. I don't know if anyone of you have heard of it. Slosh of water, well drawn, clean, then dirty. He's making a mess. It'll be me who mops up later. He ought to stick to teaching. Drips, missing the basin. And thou, whose name I dare not utter, creating feet like that. Mine are pretty, I've been told, but those are ugly. Toes long as fingers, knobs and balls, thick sole planks. Dust of Jerusalem, ground in deep, rough woven towel wrapping them like fish. Not that I can't appreciate the need, the courtesy it represents. Somebody had to do it. But plainly, it's rather awkward, their argument still in the air. Protest, reply, voice, hand stern upon the huge, exhausted feet. Now there's wet in the eyes of the man being washed, as if a boy again, about to cry. In my eyes, too, everything new. The sweet green feel of rain in spring. O thou, to be a servant like this. It's by Dora Duke. I wonder how many of us have been there, how many of us have thought those same thoughts in the past, or perhaps even tonight. Looking through this servant girl's eyes, one can only imagine how transformative that moment was. I wonder, what would that servant girl see if she were to peek through these doors? Would she see the same brokenness and imperfections that she observed that night? I believe she would. But I also believe she would see the many acts of loving servanthood taking place. She would see the relationships growing as we share in each other's joys and sorrows. I believe she would see a warming exchange of hospitality extended to one another when we faithfully worship and serve both inside and outside of these walls. I believe she would see the same transformation that happened that night. As we gather at the basins here tonight, let us remember the hospitality and peace offered that many, many, many years ago. With the gift of mercy, let us openly see awkwardness and imperfections with patience and compassion, and both offer and receive with open arms the forgiveness that Christ offers to us. Let us see the messiness and humbly step in to serve, just as Christ so humbly did, even as he prepared to meet his Father in glory. And most of all, as we experience and see brokenness and vulnerability, let us provide and gracefully receive that same healing comfort, love, and peace upon which Christ invites us to share. So come, wash. Come wash, and with humility, let us then together, with all our sufferings and differences, prepare to gather at the table as Christ did with his disciples. Let us come forth humbly as we break bread with one another and remember Christ on the night before his suffering. Let us remember as we depart later this evening in silence to love and serve one another as Christ has so loved and served us with an open heart. And like the servant girl, humbly say, O thou, to be a servant like this.